From the Shepherd House International in Georgetown, Guyana, Bishop Victor Connors Asabre, anointed by God, will inspire you with rare and down-to-earth but provoking teachings from the Word of God to love the Lord deeply and to devote yourself to His work. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Now, here is Bishop Collins.
Thank you for keeping you alive up to now. Thank you that He's going to keep you alive. You're not going to suffer. You're not going to die. You're not going to lose any family. You're not going to lose anybody in your home. Thank God for His preservation and His protection. Kabros ke bendere me kabras kabranda ramakendes. Rikabas otoro mo ke rende mere me kenderia. Brakata tabara ma ke bendere me ke brenderes. Rakabarabasa tabarabandere. Rekeboromo sotoromo kebrenderia bababa. Rakabarabase tereberia barabasa kabarababa. Rasa tabandere me kebendere me kabrandarababa. We bless you, O God. We worship you and we adore you. Thank you for preserving us, O God. Lekabese temene me kabrandarababa. Basataba rendere me kebrendere me seteria baba. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Your mercy found me upon the broken road, lifted me beyond my failing. Into your glory, I sin and shame dissolved. Now forever yours I'll sing in love, never to end. Oh, you call me more than Lord, glorious friend. So I'll throw my life upon all that you are, as I it all for me. And when all else fails, my soul will dance with you, where the love lasts forever. I'll throw and I'll throw my life upon all that you are, and I know it all for me. When all else fails, my soul will dance with you, where the love lasts forever. With you, where the love lasts forever. With you, where the love lasts forever. Father, thank you this morning. Thank you for gathering us. Thank you for bringing us together again. I pray the Lord you will speak to us, you affect our lives, and that you will not allow us to leave your awesome presence the same as we came. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Somebody said, amen. Hallelujah. Give Jesus a big hand clap, and you may please be seated. Wow. I can't believe some countries are cold at this time of the year, because this place is hot. We live in a very hot country. Coronavirus cannot even survive in the atmosphere. Hallelujah. All right. So we want to look at Psalm 23. And the Lord is definitely my shepherd. How many have the Lord as their shepherd? Yeah, wherever you are, amen. So Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Somebody said amen. Wonderful. So we're looking at I Shall Not Want. The main title of my message is I Shall Not Want. And I'm taking you through the various components, various parts of the 23rd Psalm. One of the very, very most popular, sweetest, greatest psalms ever. Many, many people know it. Some people can even quote Psalm 23 from verse 1 to verse 6 without opening their eyes. Are you one of them? Can you still quote Psalm 23 without looking into the Bible? All right. That should be your habit from today onwards if you don't know it. You know. So we are at, He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His namesake. And so I spoke about the fact that that verse, that second part of that verse is broken into two parts. The first part is that He leadeth me, that's number one, in the paths of righteousness, that's number two, and then for His name's sake. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And so with this part of Psalm 23, we have to understand that God is leading us. When you submit yourself to Him, if you give your life to Jesus Christ, you have to now forget about the fact that things are not going well, things don't look bright, things don't look okay. You have to forget about that. You know, like in our country, Guyana, most of the time when you ask people, how are you doing? They say, I try. You can't try. what are you trying? You're trying what? You try? what, get rich quick or you die trying or something? You can't try. When you are asked, how are you? You should say that, I am well, I am blessed. Because the Lord is your shepherd and He's leading you in the paths of righteousness. Can you imagine finding yourself in a particular situation and thinking that God is not with you? That is why King David says that, if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Because he knows that the fact that God is with you doesn't mean that you will not go through valleys of the shadows of death. The fact that God is with you doesn't mean that the path you are walking on is a bad path or is a bad road. No. You have to be rest assured that God Almighty, as long as He is your shepherd, He's going to lead you in the paths of righteousness. Now, the beautiful thing about this, it is because of His reputation, His namesake. The name of the Lord is lifted above anything. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are safe. Can you imagine a name from now, and because of you, that the name of God is not a name that people will run into it and they are safe? And that is somehow how some Christians go around sharing their stories and telling others about how God did not take care of them, God did not watch over them, and that they are Christians and they are punishing and they are suffering and they are, you know, they're broke and all kinds of things. Let me tell you, sometimes when you're broke, it may even be the path of righteousness. It is a path that God is taking you on. God is the one who's leading you on the path. So if along the line there's brokenness or brocks along the line, Charlie, it is all part of the paths. I don't know any, we all live in this country here. You can't tell me there's a particular road, a highway in our country that when you drive on it, there's no bump. Let me tell you. Oh, you go, you know the Linden Highway? Those of you know the Linden Highway. It goes like that. Woo, 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 woo. Sometimes when you're driving, you're not careful. You see that? You I've had it before. You go up, you're in a car, you actually rise up on your seat and come down back on your seat. If you're driving fast, you're not careful. And so there's no path that is smooth. There's no path that is straight. I mean, from here to my house, I have to turn, I have to join a major road, I have to get out of a major road. That is how our lives are. But the beauty of it is that for his name's sake. God will not allow anything bad or negative to affect his name. And therefore, no matter what you are going through, you should understand that it is the Lord who is leading you. And he's leading you on the right path for his name's sake. You know, so we have to change our mind. I know after you are born again, your mind is still the same. It must be renewed. You know, so you have to understand that as long as you give your life to Jesus Christ, he takes care, he takes control over your life, and he leads you. As a sheep, he leads you. A sheep cannot find the best places for itself. If you are a sheep right now, or if you imagine you are a sheep, and that's basically who we are here. The Bible says we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And therefore, a sheep cannot find better places for itself unless he, and until, except he is led by the shepherd. So unless you are not submitted to God, unless you are not submitted to God, but if you are submitted to God and you are under the caretakership of God Almighty, then I want to tell you this morning that any path he will lead you on, it will be a right path and it will be a good path, because he wouldn't want his name to be soiled. He wouldn't want to lose his good reputation. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are safe. The righteous run into it and they are safe. And so you will not be the first person to come and tarnish the reputation of God to say that as long as I'm before in the Lord, I have not done well. David said it. He is the same person who said it. That I was young and I have grown. I have not seen the righteous forsaking. I have never seen the righteous forsaking, nor his seed begging for bread. You will not beg for bread. I said you will not beg for bread. As for a bag of tennis roll, you will not beg for it. As for a bag of Graham's tennis roll, you will not beg for it. The righteous are never. So you see, when you sit down and you say, oh Lord, why has thou forsaken me? The righteous is never forsaking. And not even the righteous. The provision goes as far down as his seed. The provision. Can you understand the scripture? He said the righteous will not his seed begging for bread. It means that the life of the righteous person has gone on for how many years, and he has not begged, and his seed has now risen up, and the seed also has not begged. So it's like for two generations, as long as he's been alive, he has not seen two generations of people who love God and are following God begging, suffering, punishing. Let me tell you, in this pandemic season, the Lord is your shepherd and you shall not want. I said the Lord will lead you. Let me tell you, he will lead you in the path of righteousness. You will not contract the virus in the name of Jesus. Because he will lead you in the right path. He will prevent you from going to the place where somebody is who has the virus. And that's why sometimes when you arrange something and it doesn't come on, you are going to meet somebody somewhere and then you are delayed or the person doesn't show up, you shouldn't be disappointed. You shouldn't begin to get annoyed and say, these people, when you arrange them, why is this guy driving like that? I'm in a hurry. I have an appointment at 10 o'clock. Do you know that the appointment at 10 o'clock, if you were to really make it at 10 o'clock, that something would happen to you? And so God sends somebody in front of you to delay you, and you get annoyed. Can you believe that God is trying to preserve you and you get annoyed at his preservation? You see, so with this knowledge and with this understanding, you'll be somebody who will live life without complaints. Stop being a Christian who complains, who talks about how, why this, why that. Stop that from today. It's out of complaint that the Bible says God destroyed the Israelites in the wilderness. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So we started looking at some righteous paths. You remember last week? We started looking at some righteous paths. And we said that, you know, one of the things that you have to do, or you have to allow yourself to go through, is to not loving yourself most, isn't it? You should be willing to love Christ best and others than yourself. Isn't it? That's what Jesus said, that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God. And the second is like unto it, love thy neighbor as thyself. And then we learned what love really is. Love is when somebody gives their life for you. So when you see people risking their life, giving their life for you, that is what must let you know that love is really at work. The smooching, the kissing up, and the hugging up, that's enjoyment. People are blowing time. There is no sacrifice in there. So if you want to know love, love is when somebody lays down their life for you, not when they enjoy. They climb the mountains, you know, the mountains of Gilboa. The two mountains of Gilboa, they climb on it, they do mountain climbing, and then you say they love you. No. Love, this is how we know what love is, 1 John 3:16, that Jesus, that a man will lay down his life. That is what you call love. So we looked at that, and it must be something we do deliberately. And number two, we realize that, you know, instead of being one of the crowd, you see, you should be singled out. Stop being a part of the crowd. Some human beings, like sheep, are gregarious. There's a word. We always want to belong. We always want to belong. We want to be in a group. I mean, there's not a single person here I know who can probably tell me that when you were growing up, you grew up alone. No group, no friends, no team, no gang. Some of you were even gang leaders. I remember one of my little girls, who is now a big woman in the church, when she was younger, she was in secondary school, she was a Gaza queen. Gaza queen. I mean, a little girl in secondary school, they have these red bands and blue bands on their wrists, and some were for Vibes Cartel, some were for Movado. I mean, that people will spend time following these rascals. You know, Gaza Strip. Gaza Strip is bombing, Palestinian Gaza Strip. It's explosives that takes place there. She was a Gaza queen. She was a gang leader. I don't want to mention her name on Facebook Live right now, but I know her name is even ringing in my head right now. Hallelujah. So many of us did not grow up alone. That when you're growing up, it was just you in your room with Nintendo, PlayStation 1, PlayStation 2, PlayStation 20, PlayStation 15. Maybe nowadays, there was no PlayStation. PlayStation was out there in the dust. That was PlayStation for you. In the sand. You go and play football right there, out there. I remember, you know, those days, I think I said it before, when I was growing up, my mother bought me a nice football. You see that type of football, the one you kick it, the wind will blow it this way. If you're a football guy. I don't know, not so much of a cricket guy. I came from a football background. And, you know, my friends would come and call me and say, yeah, let's go and play football. There we go. And I'll put my football down, they'll play. You know, small poles. You know, six here, six there. They'll be playing. When the team that I'm in, if they score us, then I take my ball. I say, I'm going home. I vex. I don't play. You can't score me. I mean, the football is for me. And then you're coming to score me. What are you there for, man? You can't score me. Hallelujah. And you have friends. I remember growing up, even how I even learned to smoke and to drink, not smoke. I just tried one and I said, and I didn't try it again. But I learned how to drink because of belonging. Yes. There's a group of us. They used to call us Stone Family. I won't tell you the name they used to call me. But everybody had a name, a call name, and then there was a stone after it. So this is Gerald Stone. And that's Cromwell Stone. And that's Joey Stone. And that's Adam Stone. You had Stone. A Stone was like a Stone family. That's about 12 to about 15 or 16 guys. You know, and then every Christmas we organize parties. If I was growing up alone in my father's house, I would not be part of anything called Stone Family. Now, some have passed away. Some are still around, grown up, big men, and all of that. But it was a congregation. It was a group. Human beings like to belong. And that's why sometimes when you are a little different, you feel funny. Yeah, when you're a little different, you feel funny. The world is so full of crowding and groupings, races, ethnic groups, tribal things, that when you are different, you look like an enemy. That is why the broadest road and the widest gate, the Bible says it is that which leads to destruction. So you have to now, in the path of righteousness, God will take you out. If if you look at yourself, you probably were taken out from somewhere to be placed here.
Yeah.
If you analyze it well, you were taken from a group and you are placed here. I mean, if I see Joel and Joshua and Jojo, I'm jealous. Because it doesn't happen normally. You see your legs, you see showing. It's very precious. Yeah. Michael, who's from your... I walk alone. You will never walk alone. I'm here. I'm walking alone. There's nobody from my family who's here. I have 7 other siblings. There's none of them here with me here. They might probably be tuning in and be watching at a point or something, but none of them is with me here. In fact, none of them has even stepped foot here before. So when God is dealing with you, when God is leading you in the path of righteousness, forget about your neighbor. Forget about your brother. Forget about your sister. He calls you and he calls you alone. Yeah? That is why it's even in the last days, the Bible says that 2 will be lying on a bed and 1 will be taking and 1 will be left. 2 men will be grinding at the mill. 1 will be taking and 1 will be left behind. If you feel you are strange, you are different, you are in the plan and the will of God. I want to say it again. If you feel strange and different, you are very, very likely to be in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. If you look at Moses, his life was very different. As a baby, he was dropped in a basket and then left on the river. He was abandoned. He grew up in a king's palace. And then he murdered somebody. And then he was a fugitive for 40 years. As he was a fugitive for 40 years in Midian, I'm just wondering what was going through his mind. Because he was there alone. He was there by himself. Every time he would take the sheep to the desert and come, you know, help them to graze and all that, I'm sure he'll be thinking about, my family, my brother Aaron, my sister Miriam. He was alone in the desert when God called him. God doesn't call, even husband and wife, God does not, and I said it last week. I don't know how many of you were annoying, but God does not call husband and wife, hey, Mr. and Mrs., come and serve me and do ministry for me. We have culture, attitudes and habits and again, congregation. Because if you look at it, many pastors who do those things, it's because they saw somebody do it, that's why they also do the same thing. Follow me. Do you see follow me here? Yeah? I see follow me with a nest right here. Human beings have become follow me in a nest. If somebody says, oh, I'm going to America, you say, wow, me too, I want to go to America. But maybe going to America is going to be your death. Yeah. Toyota Corona. Yeah. Yes. I remember that vehicle, Toyota Corona. Now it has become something else. Sister Rona. Yeah. Are you with me? So you see that in many things, it's very difficult to stand alone. Because when you stand alone, you look around, you look strange. You look different. You look weird. He said, who are you? What is this? What's that? Why is that? I mean, when I was being sent to come to Guyana, I'm alone. Alone. It's like, what are you going to do in Guyana? Why so far? Many people have been asking me, so when are you going back? When is your bishop taking you away from Guyana? They say, why is it that your mind is fixed on something that people come and they go? Maybe it's not like that for me. But you see, the mindset of people is this congregation. It's like you have to conform to what is around. But if we are going to be led on the path of righteousness for his name's sake, we should be ready, we should be prepared to be a loner, to walk on a path alone where it seems like there's nobody with you, but he is with you. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. This morning, we want to look at maybe one or two more of the paths of righteousness. So instead of insisting on your rights, be willing to forgo them for others' sake. This morning, I want to talk about your rights. I must. This is a must. Nothing is a must when it comes to Jesus Christ. Peter asked Jesus, if I am going to be led to a place where I don't want to go, what happened to John? You know what Jesus said? Jesus told John, he told Peter, Peter, mind your own business. It's like, why is it that I am going to die this way and somebody will have to die in a different way? As if I'm going to keep him alive until I come. What is that? Is that your business? You have to grow up in this Christian life thinking about forgoing your rights most of the time. Matthew chapter 5. Let we go into the Bible. Let we galang into the Bible. I'm still campaigning for a Creolese Bible, isn't it? Yeah, we need one. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 21. But if you look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 says, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying. When Jesus saw the multitudes, the Bible says that he went to a mountain. The disciples came. And then he started revealing some secrets to them, revealing some mysteries, revealing some truths to them. And therefore, that's why we have the favorite beatitudes. Blessed are the poor, blessed are the meek, blessed are that. Matthew chapter 5. When you get to verse 21, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 21, the Bible says that you have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. You know what happens these days? People kill and then lawyers say, oh, they didn't kill. They are fighting for a certain right. Now they have premeditated. They have a second degree, first degree. They have what? Manslaughter. But a soul is gone. You see, it is like, even in murder, we want to still hold on to a certain right. So you know what? I was defending myself. But you see, whether you defend yourself or not, the Bible says that you have heard that it was said of them of old, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. Maybe the court here on earth can release you, but there's a court in heaven that will not acquit you. Your right to kill somebody does not exist. There is no right for anybody here on earth to take a life. But you see, we forced in the sentence of death to try and say, oh, it wasn't premeditated. It was in self-defense. It was manslaughter. He didn't think about it. You know, they just started fighting, and then he slapped him, and he dropped down, and he dead. Well, you have killed somebody. If you were to forgo your rights and just avoid and walk away, no slapping, no dropping down, no deading. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raka, fool, foolish, cause up, cause down, Raka, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. How many of us have not said fool to somebody? How many of us have not cursed down somebody because you feel that it is your right?
the person did something to you, and you have to say something in return. How do you tell somebody they are fools? How do you tell somebody raka? How do you get angry with somebody? Because you feel that something that you don't deserve has happened to you.
Then Jesus goes on to say, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee.
Hey, if my brother has something against me, and so what? That's the problem. I mean business. He got tried. I feeling good. I walking in power. I walking in miracles. I live a life of favor. I know who I am.
You see, the scripture is saying that, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, not that you have something against your brother, but your brother who ain't able with you, got some business for what settle with you. That's the problem. How many of us have not walked in that before? Huh? You got a problem with me? You try it.
I do nothing. I feeling all right. I do nothing.
I good. No. But Jesus is saying, no, you ain't good. You can't say you won't do nothing. You have the right to bring your gift. But once you remember that somebody has something against you, he's saying, there is no right for you to come and drop the gift at the altar and praise me and worship me and adore me. He said, no. Give whatever. If somebody has something against you, go back. How many of us do that? You see, so that's why we can't walk in the path of righteousness. We want to walk on in our own ways. The Bible says that there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. And that is your own way. When you have something against somebody, you come to church, you come and pay your tithe, you give your offering, 5,000, 10,000, you come, you give it. Meanwhile, you remember somebody you have a problem with. Neighbor. God is going to take you on the right track. And I'm saying that when you're going on the right path, you feel very funny. You see, it's not very easy to go to somebody and say, you know what, good morning. Morning. Everybody. This is the greet. Everybody. Everybody. I was at a barber shop sometime ago. Somebody came and said, everybody. I say, everybody should do what? No, it's a latest greeting. Everybody? Everybody. It's like I'm greeting everybody. Yeah, one time. You just say, good morning, Pastor. Good morning, Pastor Leo. Good morning, Pastor Leo. Good morning, Reverend Leary. Good morning, everybody. You have no right for me to single you out and address you. What do you want? Who is you? It is very different. Because if you have something against me, I don't have anything against you. Why does that prevent me from offering my sacrifice to God? God says, yes, you have a right, but I want you to give up that right. Let it go. I am leading you, and I want you to go on a path that nobody can have something against you, or you having something against somebody. Is it because it's not nice to have people around you who have something against you? Hey, let me tell you, if you have people around you, you think that you are good, you think that you don't have anything, you've not done anything to anybody. Betrayers and rebels, they normally come out of these kind of things. When you don't pick up that somebody has aught against thee. Because we are so selfish that we only think about ourselves. Yeah, when you wake up, once you've eaten, once you have money in your pocket, as good. My good.
Once you eat some bam and chip, you are right. Yeah, chuck here. Yeah.
And then you meet this sister in the church. You meet this brother in the church, and it looks like they are not looking at you well. I pass you straight. That's what we know here in Guyana. We pass people straight.
Mean business?
Mean business? No. No. Jesus is saying, no, you have to deny yourself. This thing that you are in, it is not something that you look to yourself. You have to look to the interest of others. What you think you have a right to, you have to give it up. I'm teaching.
But Lord, this my gift is big. I brought it for you. He said,
go back.
But Lord, I don't have any problem with him.
That is what we normally say. Well, Bishop, I don't have a problem. I don't have any problem with anybody in the church. But that one is very simple and very easy and very nice. What about that? Somebody has something wrong to anybody has a problem with you? That is the main thing. Because you not having anything, any problem with anybody, that's very nice. That's very easy. That's very cool. But God is more concerned about what somebody has against you. Yeah. You should check it. It means that if you had given any fat offering, fat sacrifice to God, not going to resolve the issue that somebody has with you, it means that offering wasn't received. May the Lord have mercy on us. He said, leave thy gift. Leave there thy gift before the altar. And go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. As so many people who don't talk to so many people around, they still go to church, they give offering. You try there. Verse 25, Matthew chapter 5, verse 25 says, agree with thine adversary quickly. Hey, what do you mean by that? What does it mean? I should agree with my enemy? Agree with my enemy? What do you mean? Again, you say that, you know, me, I don't have anything against anybody. She won't be my enemy. He won't be my enemy. That's your problem. Me and everybody. Me and everybody good. You and everybody ain't good. No. It's not so. That is even yourself. If you're really going to look in the path, you're really going to allow God to take you on the path of righteousness, I tell you, you will not sit down and say, me and everybody good. Yeah, you're enough people and you ain't good. Enough people. He says, agree with your adversary quickly. How do you want me to agree with my enemy? And you are not saying that, okay, I should consider it. I should just, you know, meditate over it. You are telling me to do it quickly. I feel violated. I feel like I'm giving too much of my space. I feel like I'm giving too much of me to somebody who is definitely planned to not make me happy, definitely has decided not to make me feel comfortable in my life. Why should I agree with that person quickly? Why not say I agree? But why do you act quickly? This is the path of righteousness. Okay, Lord, I'll think about it. But Lord, I need time. Need time. This brother showing guy? No, Lord. No. I pray that when he's driving in Mercedes-Benz, that he should crash the Mercedes-Benz. I should agree with him? But Lord, you think I don't have feelings? So it is exactly the feelings. He's coming for those feelings. He's coming for those rights. He's coming for those feelings. That which makes you feel like you are okay and then you don't deserve to go through it. That is what he's coming for. He's coming for that which you think you need to hold on to. And that's why many of us don't walk in the path of righteousness, because we don't want to deny ourselves. We still want to hold on to everything about us. That's how we get hurt. That's how we get disappointed. Because it is about us and nobody else.
But if God is taking you on the path of righteousness for his name's sake, it will not just be about you. It will be about others most of the time. And not you. He said, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge. You see, when somebody says they are your enemy, they can take you on. Especially when you say that you and everybody good. And this person is just sitting down in their room wishing bad things on you. And you are walking around and saying everything, me and everybody good. Meanwhile, this person is trying to take you to court, trying to summon you in the heavens, take you to the devil, for the devil to do something. You can't say you and everybody good and just relax. Bible says that as much as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Be at peace with all men. Yes, you be at peace with all men. Hallelujah. It says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 29, it says that, and if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out. So now, I like me right eye so, I like it so. No, it is very difficult to tell people to get rid of certain things in their lives. It's very difficult. It's very, very difficult. Oh, me and he good. We go a long way. I remember the seasons when, you know, we had some rebels in the church and all of that. And then we tried to teach the people to apply, mark, and avoid. A lot of people said, no. We grew up together. We went to the same school together. How the pastor can tell me not to talk to me, friend? It was that. We used to play marbles together. Right now, you, Africa man, you came from Africa, you come to tell me I shouldn't talk to he. If thy right hand offend thee, Bible says, pluck it out. Many people like to walk along with a lot of baggage, a lot of challenges. Yeah. A lot of people in your life who don't help you. A lot of habits and behaviors around you that doesn't take you anywhere. People get hooked to because somehow they don't want to be led on the right path. They want to hold it. It's the right. I'm talking about holding on to something you think you have a right to. Therefore, it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. If thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee, for it is profitable, isn't it, for thee that one of thy members should perish and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. I say unto you, whosoever shall put his wife away or shall put away his wife. Hey, some wives need putting away. You see, some people make it look as if wives are so chocolate, they are so ice cream, they are so fudgicle and icicle, creamsicle, sweet all the time. Yeah, juicy all the time. No. Somebody said something. He said that wives are like blankets. When it's cold, you need them. When it's hot, you want to get rid of them. Yeah, push them in the car. One wife was telling me, Bishop, please, can you make some time for me and my husband for marriage counseling? I said, no problem. I said, we can do Zoom marriage counseling, no problem at all. I just have to sit down and just click Zoom. That's it, easy. And now we are going to do more marriage counseling because we don't have to travel to any place. Just Zoom. We'll Zoom you in to the house. The husband, I think the husband believes that everything is okay. He and everybody good in the house. Meanwhile, the wife is calling the priest. Said, please save me. I'm in trouble. Hallelujah. You don't put your wife away, saving for the cause of fornication. Because you cause her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her, that is divorce,
committeth adultery as well. Now, all those who are married, you probably will understand. I think sometimes you feel like putting her away. Because sometimes, you know, you can have challenges, you can have difficulties, and it's like, if I can just take this, if I can just take this ticket off, I walk in my vest. I need some breeze. I need some breeze here. I want breeze out. But God is saying that right you have to drive her away, he said, don't exercise that right. It's okay. It's okay. Let her be. It's all right. Hey, this is what we call the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Listen. You have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You could do for me, I could do for you. Make you no worry. But I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. Is that when somebody is worrying you, just give him more room for him to worry you. Yeah? If somebody slaps you on the right,
give him the left.
No, we Christians insist too much on our rights. What we have right to, what must be mine, and what I need, and what I deserve, and what is supposed to be for me. I can't take this thing. Christians have become people who don't give out anything. Don't give in to anything. You better don't step on the toe of a Christian. You feel it. You feel it. You feel the Christianity in them. Yeah. And this is Bible. We're reading the Bible. I don't think we read this. The Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5, a very, very important chapter. He said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. You slap me, I slap you. Have you seen the slapping games that you see on the internet? I mean, human beings have gone all the way. Now we do slapping games. I saw some. I was going to walk and a guy just tumbled over like that. Hey, some slaps will make you, can even make you black out, you know. Black you out. Yeah. But it's not very comfortable that somebody is doing something to me and that you are telling me, no, I shouldn't worry. I just let it be. It's okay. Don't worry. Don't bother. Just let her do whatever she wants to do. Really? No. I mean, somebody saying you're a special human being. No. You are supposed to be a Christian. Real, practical, physical, real good Christian. That's what the Bible says. Yeah. He says, and if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, don't say, you said 1 mile. No, I never said, no, go an extra mile with a person. We don't have patient Christians anymore. And that's why we can't wait on God's promises any longer. Because many of the things God promised people in the scriptures, it took a while. It took a while. We have become what? A microwave generation. Yeah. You put it in. You see, gone are the days where your mother had to go to the kitchen and then put what? Not even the kitchen. The back of the house. Put some firewood together with some carrot or with some newspaper. Light up the firewood and put the pot on and hot up the food for daddy. Now there's something called microwave oven. It's not to cook. It's to heat up, or we say hot up. Hot up. You put it inside, you press it, 2 minutes. Hot. You see the steam coming out. And so everything for us here as Christians in this season and time and generation and in this century is all of, it must happen now. It must come to pass now. Isn't it? You like that? Why are people choosing people on the side? Because the person to choose you is not around. Yeah, somebody was asking me, why are people choosing people on the side? We have been here. We've been waiting. I said, Abigail has also been here. Yeah. 2005, 2006, 2007, 2008, 2009, Miss World. Lighthouse Chapel International. She's still the number one, waiting. Undefeated. Yeah. You just came the other day. You want all prophetic utterances to be made manifest in your life in one time. No, 2020 is your year. I beg you, even 2030 is not going to be your year. we have to relax. We have to relax. We have to relax and depend on God. Let Jesus take the wheel. Jesus take the wheel. Yeah. Even that vehicle is for you, but you say, Jesus, hey, Jesus, you know how much money I pay for this thing? No, Jesus, sit in front. Don't take no view. I'll drive myself. No. You have to say, Jesus, this is my beautiful car. I'm stepping over to the front seat. Please sit down. Take the wheel. I will just sit in front, adjust my seat, and just enjoy the ride. If we can sit in aeroplanes, sit in buses, especially minibus in Georgetown, can sit inside and let somebody who does not have, actually bought his bus license or even doesn't have one, drive you in the city of Georgetown almost to kill you. If you can sit at the back and enjoy the drive, then ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, you should be able to sit in the back seat and let Jesus take the wheel. Let him take control. Let him lead you. Let him guide you in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Give Jesus a big hand up. Stand to your feet, somebody. Hallelujah. Lead me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, let Jesus take the wheel. Just relax and let him lead you. He's going to lead you on the right paths only for his blessed name's sake. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God, somebody, lift up your voice. Just thank God for just a few seconds. Thank God for his word. Thank God for opening your eyes. Thank God for speaking to you this morning in the precious name of Jesus. Kaborondos. Reketete. Mandirimi kabrandire me keriene. Laka babaraba sita barababa. Kayabando lebe sete remerebe. Kayabarabande besete berebe. Marandirebe kabrababa. Randerebe. Rasa talabala baba, neke bololo sita balabala baba, rasa tabala baba, kayanderebe. Blessed be your name, O God. I will be what you've called me to be. I will not fight it, O God. I'll say yes. Lord, I agree. My desire passionately is to be what you've called me to be. That's what I'll be. Father, thank you for speaking to us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. You are here this morning. You are listening to me. You are watching the video live. Watching this live broadcast, and you are not saved. You are not born again. If you die right now, you are not sure whether you die or and go to heaven or hell. I want to say this morning, Bishop, please pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. Wherever you are, say this prayer with me. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with my heart. And I confess with my mouth that Jesus died for me. I believe that Jesus is Lord over my life. I open my heart and I invite Jesus to come into my heart and to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul and writing my name in the book of life. In Jesus' name, amen. Give Jesus a big hand clap and you may be seated wherever you are.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's Word. For booking and more information on the ministry of Bishop Collins, please call us on 592 592-
225-6760 or email us at shepherdhousegy@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.shepherdhouseinternational.org. God richly bless you.